This past June, I flew to Manchester, England, hopped on a couple of trains, and eventually worked my way to the seaside town of St. Bees, right on the edge of the Lake District. This is the official start for Alfred Wainwright's Coast to Coast Walk, which, strictly speaking, takes a hiker from the Irish Sea to the North Sea in somewhat of a straight line. My plan was to add the big peaks in the Lake District in a kind of loop of my own devising, and staying very much in the spirit of Wainwright, who wrote definitive guidebooks but was keen on walkers taking a more curious and aimless approach, one that in my case added another 40 or so miles and thousands of feet of ascent and descent to the already 200-mile walk. What caught me immediately was that nature in northern England is loud and hearty, starting at the first road walk from Stonehouse Farm B&B to the beach. They don't call this the green and pleasant land for nothing, as large swaths of bushy wetlands creep right up to the roadside and are filled with a plethora of birds I'd never heard before. I made my way on the official trail up and over Bees Head, and then towards the lakes, where a view from my first pull up Dent Fell opened on the mountains ahead, and was my chance to wave goodbye to the sea. After a windy night on Ennerdale Water, I cut off from the trail and cracked straight up into the Lakeland Fells, ticking off Steeple, Pillar, Skawfell, and her pike, England's highest, as well as a day's climbing on the cliffs below the summit of Great Gable. This before winding my way over the Cat Bells Ridge into a rain-drenched Keswick for resupply. The morning dawned bright and clear with Keswick's famous towering peak Skiddaw proudly lording over the region. But by the time I was on the last big pull of her side, the cloud came down in a disorienting blanket of white.
Just aiming for that cairn up there, but I can't tell where the top is. Absolutely white out mist. Oh, I can see about 50 feet in front of me. Pass really clear. Oh, absolutely still. No one's here.
I was awakened that night, reasonably terrorized, by crashing thunder echoing amongst the giant peaks at what I named Camp Spooky on the banks of Mosedale Beck. Too distracted, I forgot to turn on the recorder soon enough and only caught the downpour. Lesson learned for next time. The rain left an oozing trail of bog the next day as I contoured straight up the ridge towards Blencathra, eerily hidden in mist. The following day, my plan was to climb England's second highest, Helvellyn, and her knife-edged ridges on each side. But I had all of the Dodds first, velvety rolling landscape of peak upon peak, and I was damned if I was going over all that beauty in mist. The gods of weather were paying attention, and I had a pristine day. Two more perfect wild campsites saw me finally leaving the lakes to rejoin the coast to coast and march up into the Pennines, with their mysterious Bronze Age rock cairns, the Nine Standards, and next onto the moors, a wholly new landscape of high, flat, marshy land, like an ocean in the clouds. Birdsong followed me everywhere, complex and foreign to my ears, from yellow wagtail and linnet to one of my most favorite, the lapwing, with its dog toy, Squeak. It would take a week to see the North Sea way in the distance and the sprawling Yorkshire farms beginning to give way to caravans and vacation-ready views. Like the start, I walked far above the ocean in a dramatic conclusion until finally rounding a bend and seeing the finish line of Robin Hood's Bay, a former smuggler's cove and jumble of houses built right up the cliff. But even in this final push, the creatures with me the entire trip, whether high fell or gentle dale, sang their songs and kept me going.